Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Happy Sabbath. And it is a happy Sabbath. It really is. Rejoice, brothers and sisters. Rejoice. We have so much to be thankful for. Actually, you will find this statement, and it's not found in all the scriptures, in Matthew 28:9. Now, this is where Mary Magdalene and Mary, what they say, the other Mary, and they think that's probably the mother of James, where Jesus actually sees them. He stands before them, and he says, rejoice. Because remember, they were very sad, but what event had taken place just before that? An event that, I'll tell you what it reminds me of, is the comet that came, not comet, but the asteroid that came down and in Russia. I don't know how many of you have actually seen the picture, but how bright it was. Also, Sister White mentioned that the angel that came to roll away the stone, that the glorious light that was there, and in fact, we'll read a little bit about that later on, that this light was so bright that the Roman soldiers, you remember, what did they do? They fell as dead men. I mean, it was just that bright. What it would be like to see that, and what it's going to be like when Christ comes the second coming. We're really looking forward to that time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, what can we say about this wonderful gift from the foundations of the earth, way back in time, that you foresaw these events which were going to take place and made preparation that we can have that wonderful gift of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and the resurrection, and that resurrection some of us will go through. And some of us will not. We'll leave that up to you, but we're looking forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymnals to 734. I want to thank Mac and the young ladies for the special the music. What a blessing. And David, you're fantastic as always. Really appreciate it. But let's read responsibly. Did Mary really know? But we do. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. What shall I do then that Jesus, who called the Christ, Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him, and then they wove a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of Jews, they said. They spat upon him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." He was the Son of God. But at last, Jesus was at rest. It was the Sabbath day. The long day of shame and torture was ended, and the last rays of setting sun ushered in the Sabbath. The Son of God lay in quietude in Joseph's tomb, his work completed, his hands folded in peace. He rested through the sacred hours of the Sabbath day. Page 769, Desire of Ages. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 28, 1 through 6. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know who you seek, Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen. And as they had said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." Earthquakes. The earthquake marked the hour that Jesus laid down his life. The earthquakes also marked the moment that he took it up again. When he comes again, he will shake both the heavens and the earth. Are you looking forward to that time when Jesus comes again? I pray that you are. At the sight of the angels and the glorified saviors, the Roman guard had fainted and became as dead men. When the heavenly train was hidden from their view, the guards rose to their feet, and made a quick exit with trembling limbs that could hardly carry them away as they went through the gate of the garden. Staggering like drunken men, they hurried to the city, telling those whom they met the wonderful news. The resurrection of Jesus and Lazarus. And this is what I want you to think about, how real that this event was. Resurrection of Jesus and Lazarus should give us all confidence that the person resurrected at the end of time will be the same person who previously lived and died. So we have the resurrection, but when we are resurrected, we will be known, we will be recognized. The connections to our brain, yeah, they'll be destroyed by death, but God doesn't forget us. He knows us so intimately. Jesus' disciple recognized him after his resurrection. Lazarus' friend recognized him after the resurrection of those who know us, just like we will be known too when we are resurrected. Let's turn to Job, if you would, please. Job 19. Job makes an interesting statement here. In 19, verse 25, 26, and 27, he makes this statement, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." And listen to this, "And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." And in verse 27, "Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Now my heart yearns within me." Does your heart yearn within you to see Jesus face to face, to see your Heavenly Father face to face? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, John makes this statement near the end. I shall know just as I also am known. So he is claiming that promise also, to be known as he is known. David Marshall, in his Signs of the Times article, Proof of the Resurrection, page 8, April 2004, writes this. The entire case for Christianity rests on the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Without it, Christianity would have been stillborn, for a living faith cannot outlive a dead Savior. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 26. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Yes, and we found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not raise. So there's a problem here that is coming in, and Paul is speaking against this. Okay, in verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. So if what they're saying is correct, then Christ isn't risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. For there really isn't any Savior, is there? Then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. But listen to this. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For once a man cometh death by men, and also cometh the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. All shall be made alive. But each one is in its own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Praise the Lord for his coming. Then comes the end, and he delivers the kingdom to God the Father when he puts an end to all the rule and all the authority and all the power. For he must reign till he has all of his enemies under his foot. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is a real event in history. The risen Lord is seen by hundreds of people, which was already read, and that's found in John 26, 28. In fact, some of them had already passed on, but there were witnesses at the time that Jesus was walking the face of the earth. No question that Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus was a real human with a real body, who really died and was resurrected bodily. More than any other single act of history is the reality of the resurrection that gives life to the Christian religion. Marshall brings up several arguments, and I would like just to spend some time on this, and because I thought it was sort of interesting. And most of us have all sat here and have gone through this logic in our own minds. But let's just go ahead and just spend some time to reason together. Marshall, in his argument for the resurrection, lists C.S. Lewis as a doubter who became a Christian after resisting its influence for several years. But the historic reliability of the gospel influences him. So let's take a look at the situation, and I hope this is encouraging to you. The stone alone that covered the tomb weighed about 2 tons, is what they figure. And if you know that they rolled it up a slight incline in front of the tomb. And that's found in Mark 16, 3 and 4. Then it was sealed, you remember, with a Roman seal. And 16 Roman guards were posed to keep the disciples from stealing Jesus' body. And I always love the way God works. It's just amazing. The more human beings try to stop God from doing something, all it does is increase our faith, because God does it anyway, in spite of what man does. And this is one of those examples. So the priests, the harder they worked to make sure that Christ would not be raised on raise himself on the third day, the more it proved the point that he did. After the resurrections, the guards claimed that Jesus' disciples had stolen Jesus' body while they slept. Now, there is a ridiculous argument, if there ever was one. But the facts speak strongly against this conclusion. The disciples were not going to go up against the highly trained Roman soldiers. In fact, in John 20:19, he makes this statement. And this is where the disciples were. Then, that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, with the doors shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Does this sound like disciples that are going to take on an army, highly trained army soldiers? I don't think so. The idea that Jesus' disciples could have rolled the 2-ton stone up even a slight incline far enough to open the tomb, and now listen to this, without even waking one of the soldiers, is that possible? Here you got this great big 2-ton stone, and they're going to roll it up a hill, slight incline, and never wake one of them? Don't think so. The other thing, too, which I thought about, what else happened? Do you remember there was also an earthquake? Do you think the earthquake woke the soldiers up? All these things would have had to happen. Well, let's take a look at the Jewish leaders. They were really helpful. After Jesus rose from the dead, and you remember that he did it on his own because he had life within him, the Jewish leaders bribed the soldiers to spread the story that the disciples did steal his body while the guards slept. Had Pilate truly believed this report, he would have immediately have ordered the soldiers executed. The Jewish leaders would have demanded that Pilate have each one executed. The fact that soldiers were allowed to live is ample testimony that the report was false. And also, if the Jewish leaders really believed it, what do you think they would have done? They would have found the disciples, which they could have because they were all in one room, and they would find out where Christ's body was. And then they would take his body and, of course, show it all the way through, all around Jerusalem, to prove the point that he was not there. The other thing which became interested as you study what happened here, when the soldiers, you remember, headed and talked to Pilate, you will notice that they actually told the truth to Pilate because they knew their heads were on the line. And so they told the truth, and Pilate was scared to death because of it. The empty tomb. One of the undisputed details of the resurrection is that the tomb was indeed empty. The first indicator is that the Jewish authorities did not organize a search party, and they believed the soldiers who had guarded the tomb. Instead of trying to prove that they were wrong, they just rejected the idea. But if you remember from the scriptures in Matthew here, that eyewitnesses were still living to attest to the empty tomb and those who had seen Jesus in person. What about these eyewitnesses? Those who claimed to have seen Jesus after his resurrection were first Mary Magdalene, the 10 disciples, a week later, all 11 of them together. He finally appeared to more than 500, and as I mentioned before, that part of those 500 were still alive. So they could have really gone directly and talked to these people that were still alive. The evidence encourages complete faith in the truth of Christ's resurrection. And since that amazing New Testament claim is true, then so is the claim that Christ conquered death. And there's always, O death, where is thy sting? It's gone. You and I, as Christians, accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, death, where is your sting? It's gone. It's gone. Rejoice. Faith in the truth of Christ's death and resurrection is the key to receiving the benefits and the promises of God. Let there be no doubt in your mind, we serve a risen Savior who sits on the right hand of God. Rejoice. Will you love and will you serve Him? Will you accept His wonderful gift? If you will you stand with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, magnificent, loving, caring gift of eternal life. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. We rejoice, as you said to the Marys. We rejoice because you are risen from the dead. You put down your life and you took your life back up. Lord, we claim that promise that because of our belief in you, the love that you've given us, we return that love. Oh, Jesus, we love you so much. In His name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.